All 16 member countries of the Southern African Development Community, or SADC, will individually call for the lifting of sanctions on Zimbabwe on Friday, as they committed during the Regional Bodies 39th Summit in Tanzania in August. Addressing reporters in Gaborone recently, SADC Executive Secretary Dr. Sekomena Lawrence-Tex explained the decision.
The third state was chosen or decided by SADC heads of state when they met in August, just to emphasize that is indeed it has taken so long for this sanction to continue being in place and to be lifted. Every member state is at liberty to choose any kind of activities which they feel that is going to have an impact and to add voice to SADC's voice of calling for lifting of sanctions.
The countries are echoing Zimbabwe's claim that targeted sanctions imposed by the United States, the United Kingdom, the European Union, Australia and others over allegations of human rights abuses, rigged elections and forceful takeover of land from white farmers are hurting the economy. Imposed during the leadership of then-President Robert Mugabe, Zimbabwe has argued that contrary to the Western claim that sanctions are targeted to specific individuals and entities tied to the ruling ZANU-PF party, the sanctions are broad and are hurting the country's citizens. Zimbabwe President Emmerson Mnangagwa made this point at the 74th session of the United Nations General Assembly in New York.
These sanctions constitute a denial of the human rights of the people of Zimbabwe to develop and improvement of their quality of life. Furthermore, the sanctions are slowing down our progress, inhibiting our economic recovery, and punishing the poorest and the most vulnerable in our society.
Zimbabwe's Foreign Affairs and Trade Minister, Sibusiso Moyo, has released findings on the impact of the sanctions, which Information Minister Monica Mutswangwa shared to reporters during a recent post-cabinet briefing in Harare.
The minister stated that Zimbabwe had lost at least $42 billion on account of the sanctions. Despite the sanctions being labeled as targeted, the sanctions have and continue to inflict pain on the ranking file of Zimbabwean citizens, especially women and children.
Uploading SADC's support in calling for the lifting of the sanctions, Mnangagwa demanded the immediate lifting of what he termed illegal sanctions.
Those that impose illegal sanctions must heed this call and lift them now.
Lawrence Tex said SADC's move to pile pressure on Western countries is overdue.
This process has been there. Zimbabwe has tried for quite a number of years. SADC has also been trying to work together with Zimbabwe for a number of years, but we are not seeing results. So what is happening now is to emphasize that indeed allow Zimbabwe to enjoy their political independence. They can only enjoy their political independence if the political independence is accompanied by socio-economic development.
The U.S.'s two sets of sanctions on Zimbabwe, Executive Order 13288, which includes travel bans and arms embargo, and also the recently amended Zimbabwe Democracy and Economic Recovery Amendment Act of 2018, or ZETERA, which calls for certain reforms to enable Zimbabwe to, among other things, access loans from financial institutions like the International Monetary Fund, United States Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Africa, Matthew Harrington, explains.
We don't have sanctions in place on the people of Zimbabwe, right? The two categories of sanctions. One is the ZETERA, which has not really taken effect yet, because ZETERA refers to debt relief and new lending. And for that to happen, there need to be certain conditions met. Those conditions have not been met. So ZETERA provides a roadmap to the future, but hasn't really been called into effect yet. There's a second category, targeted sanctions, financial sanctions, focused on individuals that have been determined over the years to have played a negative role in the undermining of democratic institutions and processes.
Reacting to the accusations that sanctions hit the ordinary citizens, U.S. Ambassador to Zimbabwe Brian Nichols said Zimbabwe's biggest sanctions are placed on the country itself by corrupt government and ruling party officials, who, he said, have contributed to the poorly functioning economy. The calls challenged the government to address corruption in the Soviet-style command agriculture program and to boost production, tempering of the old mutual implied rate, and also abuse of the parastatal company Zimbabwe National Roads Administration.
The biggest sanctions on Zimbabwe are the sanctions Zimbabwe puts on itself. $3 billion in unaccounted for spending in command agriculture, that money going into private companies, they jack up the exchange rate up to 27 on the OMIR. Zanara losing $25 million unaccounted for and all of its executives building luxurious homes.
But many in ZANU-PF and the government deny these allegations. Former ZANU-PF Member of Parliament Malachi Koma says the U.S. is trying to bring Zimbabwe to its knees.
What we are trying to do as a ZANU-PF government is to show the whole world that we are suffering just because of these sanctions that have been targeted to our leaders and the country as a whole. It's not Alamita who are only suffering, but everybody in Zimbabwe is suffering because of these sanctions that have been destroyed on us.
Harrington said Zimbabwe can only expect better relations with the U.S., including the lifting of sanctions, if the country addresses issues of human rights, corruption, and economic mismanagement.
We welcome some of the change in tone and some of the commitments, but we would very much like to see those commitments translated into action on the ground. If they are, that will lead to a better relationship with us. That's the bottom line.
U.S. Ambassador to Zimbabwe Brian Nichols says only 141 people and companies are on the country's sanctions list. Zimbabwe has hired some companies in the United States to campaign for the removal of the sanctions. Reporting for VOA's mobile service, I am Kip Stubbe.